It's very little time, so I'm just going to share a few things. Got back last night from Edinburgh, Scotland, Auchi, and lots of good things. I left here April 16, so it's just a two-week thing. It was a reconnoiter, and the title for this morning, Evie asked me that while I was in UK, and with Ray and Marianne and everything like that, we'd hear about your problems about 1 minute later after VCF would know. I would get it in Scotland or England or Wales, wherever I was. So we were kind of up to date with you. Yeah. Thanks for your prayers, for those of you who knew what I was up to. Okay, so I'll just share a couple of things, then I hope you got your Bibles, because I'm going to just touch on a few things there. I'm not going to be able to get into what I had on my heart to share. That will have to be for another time. And that's okay. The last time I spoke, the same thing happened. And but God has his timing in all of these things. And that's the main thing. So what happened is that I'll go back to June the 25th of last year. And that's just over 10 months ago. And it's 1 o'clock in the morning. And like you were saying, I was fast asleep. I had no intentions of anything else. Just have a. I went to bed that night. My mind was clear. I had fast asleep. 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm wide awake. Now, I haven't shared this here before because I just wanted to submit it to elders and leaders and friends in this country, also abroad, UK and stuff. And 1 o'clock in the morning, these words, someone could have just written them right across my bedroom. But it's clearly in my mind, call the nation to prayer. Well, I mean, I asked some of my friends, what if God said that to you? Or a messenger from the Lord. I'm not quite sure it's the messenger or the Lord. I don't mind. But as I submit it to others, they said, yeah, it's the Lord. All right, so I'm not going to go into all the confirmations I've had. I've had more than enough, I can tell you. And it's like Barney Coombs. He has a habit of just doing something. And so after the confirmations come in, he looks at me and says, yeah, you got to keep the kettle boiling. All right, so I thought the only way I'm going to sort this thing out, jump on a plane, just go out of obedience. I'm not fully organized. I like to be kind of get a schedule together. But it gets frustrating sometimes. You make all these contacts and yeah, various things happen, and that's all right. But I said, Lord, should I go to the UK? And I've just felt peace about it. The elders felt peace. I really, at the age of 73, I'm not really looking for a new program. I'm not looking for a new mission. I'm already involved with North Korea. I'm already involved with Mongolia. In 2 weeks' time, I'll be in Mongolia. I'll be in Bhutan, and I'll be in Thailand with my Asia team. So I'm not really looking for a new, but I have to be honest, over the years, we've had 35 years British upbringing, 35 years Canada. I have a dual citizenship. I could have two passports if I chose. So now and again, over the years, I've noticed I have a passion for Great Britain. So I'm thinking 1 o'clock in the morning, call the nation to prayer. It's obviously Great Britain. But as I've looked into it, guess what? It's not just Great Britain. It's every nation of the world. And the only way it's going to happen is people to rise up within their own nation to call on their own nation to pray. How do you do that? If Holy Spirit has anything to do with it, he knows exactly what to do. Now, when Matt got up here earlier, and he read from Matthew, when Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light." My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And it's Jesus basically saying, you know, you're going to face stress, you're going to face problems, you're going to face heaviness, you're going to face a challenge, you're going to face everything that could tear your life apart, if it can. But Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you, for my burden is light and my yoke is easy." Matt quoted that from Matthew. That is a foundation scripture that I've been carrying ever since I got involved with this. So thanks, Matt. The other scripture, if you've got your Bibles, and then I'll share something a bit more about the story. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And we'll pray all together. And then we'll pray in groups if that's the right thing. But I'm going to be flexible on that. Because I want us to capture something. And some of us have already captured. Some of you are further ahead than I am in all of this. And that's just fine. But turn to... let me see. Okay, just a minute. Let's get this up here. Okay, I didn't write it down, but I think it's in John, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, is someone knocking at the door? All right. So John 3. And, by the way, I have very little jet lag. I just spent 20, 25 hours in the air and left my hotel, which they all paid for, by the way. It was great, the hotel anyway. And so I arrived last night, but probably it kicked in about 3 o'clock this afternoon. All right, so in John 3, if you got your Bibles, there's something significant here, and there's a little something that I want to pass on. And it's this. Nicodemus has come to Jesus. He's got questions. And Jesus answered him. He's saying, okay, this being born again stuff, he said. Verse 5, Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit." So the other scripture that has been prophesied over me, and I have different people prophesying over me these days. It's a joy and a privilege. And I go over to England, I meet people I haven't seen for, some of them for 50 years. And they start prophesying over me. And I thought, wow. Anyway, so when Jesus said this, he said it's the wind. Now, the word in Hebrew is the word ruach. And the word the Spirit and the word wind is the same. So when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "It's the wind," Nicodemus must have been square-eyed looking at him, saying, "Okay, wind. You can't tell where it comes from. And you can't tell where it's going. But so is everyone born of the Spirit." But what we as good evangelicals have looked at that scripture and very often think, yeah, I've been born again. No. It's saying that was just the beginning. You and I need to be carried on being born of the wind and born of the Spirit. Catch that? How about the wind? The wind, if we open our hearts, you won't tell where it comes from. You won't be able to tell when Holy Spirit wants to show up. But when Holy Spirit comes, you will know, because the wind will be blowing. What he will want from you and me at that time is to hoist ourselves with a strong mask that can hold the wind, that we can be taken where Holy Spirit wants us to go. So when I went to UK, I went out of obedience. That's the only word I had. And when I met my friends over there and new people, I told them, I said, I don't have the whole picture. But I've come over here looking for pieces of the jigsaw so we can get the whole puzzle, makes one complete picture. So I first of all fly into Amsterdam because it's KLM. And I get off there. And my son, he's the chaplain to a church downtown Amsterdam. Interesting part of Amsterdam as well. And he takes me down one of the streets, and I think, oh, okay. All right, so I've been in Thailand and a few of these other places, but they have a little den. And in this den, it's one of these little places that you go back centuries when the Reformation took place and when the when the Catholics got kicked out and the Protestants came in and all this kind of stuff, some of them they started kind of semi-underground churches. But anyway, this is one of them. I'm in there. For 500 years, the Anglican Church has had its program. I mean, we talk about our programs. They've had theirs for 500 years. The reading for that morning is Ezekiel 37. So I'd like us to turn there. And this is going to be about it, I think. Ezekiel 37, we're familiar with the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. And it's not that I want to refer to, all right? But we're familiar with it, and it's very prophetic. And I believe it applies to the church as well as to Israel. But going down to verse 15, one nation under one king. And this chaplain of the Church of England, in the middle of Amsterdam, in this little underground den, after about 500 years, he's programmed to read the scripture. He doesn't get to choose what he wants to read. It's already predestined. He starts to read this, and as he reads it, and something goes off inside of me. One nation under one king. Because James, my son and cousin, enjoys that when he discovers that, the old liturgy, it still works. One nation under one king. The word of the Lord came to me, that is Ezekiel. Son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it. Belong to Judah and the Israelites associated with him. Then take another stick of wood and write on it. Ephraim's the stick. Belong to Joseph and all the house of Israel associated with him. Join them together into one stick so that they will become one in your hand. And when your countrymen ask you, won't you tell us what you mean by this? Say to them, it's what the sovereign Lord says. I am going to take the stick of Joseph, which is in Ephraim's hand, and of the Israelite tribes associated with him, and join it to Judah's stick, making them a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand. Now hold before their eyes the sticks you have written on, and say to them, notice, these sticks have writing on them, okay? And say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they've gone, and I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. Well, we're witnessing that in our generation since 1948. And I will gather them from all around, bring them back to their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel, and there will be one king over them, and there will never again be two nations, or be divided into two kingdoms. Okay, I'll stop there. But what God has shown me out of that because what's happened in this country and what's happened in the United States and every country where since the Reformation has taken place is that we have, it's like two kingdoms. We have those who would focus and emphasize the word. Very solid, very good. And you have another very big camp, especially since the Reformation and the awakenings and the outflow and outburst of the Pentecostal movements going back to the early 20th century, 1904 and so 1906, Azusa Street, Wales, and North Korea actually at that time, Pyongyang was known as the Jerusalem of the East. They had outpouring of the Spirit there, and on it goes. And most of us are kind of aware of a lot of that. And I could go into much more detail, of course, but enough said. And what I saw in this little den on this particular morning, I saw two shepherd's crooks. And then I saw the center of England. And what I saw was this, is that those who represent the word is like an oak tree. And those who represent the Spirit is like an olive tree. So, Holy Spirit emphasis here in our churches, preaching of the word and standing solid on the word of God, very much like the oak tree. And I saw a making of a shepherd's crook out of the oak tree, and saw a shepherd's crook out of the olive tree being made. Hasn't happened yet, but the symbolism is incredible. And I saw that as God brings his people together in love and unity, and here's the focus, this is what God is saying right now to the leadership in many parts of the world right now, that humility and prayer and coming together in unity is what God is saying. This is the next step in the body of Christ. Now, I'm kind of discovering this. Okay, I know it all up here. I've seen some of it. But humility, unity in prayer, coming together. Very simple, not complicated, but it's divided the church for centuries. But when the Word and the Spirit comes together, Smith Wigglesworth, back in 1947, prophesied something just before the Lord took him. And he said he saw the charismatic move. He saw that it's going to go on the wane. Now, I was born in 1942, so I was 6 years, about 5 or 6 years old when this prophecy took place. And I don't hang everything on a prophecy, okay? We don't do that. But we liken it to the word of God. We liken it to what we see and sense what God is doing and saying in our time, in our generation. But what I discovered is this, is that there are a whole lot of others saying the same thing. And as I've traveled around, and I was in Wales, and in Scotland, and England, and Amsterdam, Holland, and here in this country, and then in touch with some of our friends in the United States, saying the same thing. So this is very interesting. And then I saw these two shepherd's crooks represented by these two sides. And I saw that coming together in the center of England. Now I say England because if you're in Scotland, you don't talk about England. Scotland's another nation. Go to Wales, same thing. Go to Ireland, same thing. And so... it's a little bit of wisdom sometimes needed. And But I saw for England this coming together, just people coming together, and I saw these two shepherd's crooks. The shepherding care of both sides has been there for centuries. But these two come together, being bound together, and the word of the Lord being released and written. And then out of that symbolism, these shepherd's crooks then being taken to every city, every town, saying, this is what the word of the Lord is saying. Come together in unity and in humility. Okay, that's all I got time for. And I haven't started on my message. But there you go. So I found that wherever I went in Great Britain, they're saying the same thing. And I found myself saying the same thing to them. Someone then gave me a newspaper. It's called Heart. EU, the army arises. Okay, the EU is not the army. EU basically is a referendum coming up in Great Britain, whether they stay in the EU or come out of the EU. Right? The army arises talks about a nationwide call for an army of praying Christians has gone out ahead of the historic in-out of the EU vote on the 23rd of June. At the bottom there, you might see, it's not a very clear photo, but if you Google it, it's there. Back in May of 1940, King George VI called the nation to prayer. Now, this is what I heard on June 25. This was given out in May of 1940 by King George VI. I didn't know that, but it became known as the Miracle of Dunkirk. I don't have time to explain all of that. It's just that it happened. It was a miracle. Britain was delivered and won the war, and with the help of a few other nations. And we here in Canada were a significant part of that, as well as the United States. So when they gave this table to me, when I looked at it, I thought, they're calling the nation to prayer. It was just another confirmation. I had so many confirmations. Where do I go from here? And where do we go from here? And how do you pray? How do I pray? I still don't have complete the whole picture, but I haven't got time to go into filling stations. It's nothing to do with Shell or BP or Petro Canada. These filling stations are happening all over Great Britain. God's pouring out his spirit there, and they call them filling stations. And they called me in to be the main speaker of a place. 15 churches were represented there. And as I spoke there, this Holy Spirit came. It's like a flame was ignited. Then, when I was in Wales, I went there to really get alone with God to pray. There's a prayer center there, a powerful prayer center. Fady Brennan, you can Google it. And out of that came these filling stations. They came together to say, Lord, teach us to pray 14 years ago. And today it's happening. There happened to be a Baptist group, a very nice Baptist group, on retreat from Shropshire in England. I'd never met them. They never met me. They knew nothing about me. I knew nothing about them. But they looked at me as if to say, oh, you're not part of us. But I said, I just arrived from Canada. And I said, this is the word of the Lord that God spoke to me. Now, okay, I told that to the customs officer, called the nation to prayer. He says, why are you coming? And when I said something like that, he looked at me and he smiled. And I thought, yes, that's the kind of response I'm expecting from someone like you. But if you want to engage in conversation, I'm ready. But he didn't want to go any further. That's fine. Such is our customs officers. So, but this group, when I shared that with them, they lit up. It's like a flame was ignited. So, what I discovered, wherever I went, and I just shared, I'm out of here out of obedience. No other reason. I said, this is what I believe God said. My elder said it's okay to come. And other leaders here in this country and back there in Canada, they feel, yeah, it's in our word. It's like a flame is ignited. So I'm saying, Lord, what's the next step? And the senior leader of the Baptist church of this group from Shropshire was in touch. He wants me to now get on Skype once I'm back in Canada because they are seeing something. It's like they're on the brink of something about to happen. And they're in touch. They feel that God's going to ignite social media right across the nation of Great Britain. And this thing is just going to whomp. So I don't know. All I know is I'm trying and seeking simply to be obedient. That's all. What Holy Spirit chooses to do is very interesting. He doesn't always tell you ahead of time. He just lets you know when it's happening. And you just have to do that little walk of faith. Amen? All right. So what my prayer is for here this morning, as we spend a few minutes in prayer, it's this. I'm asking God that for some of us, even if it's just one person, for a flame to be ignited. Because this nation is being called to prayer. We're on the verge of a crisis. We are already in a crisis. I won't go into the details of it all, but everything has changed. It's not the status quo any longer. Family, it's not. Everything has changed. And because the changes have been happening like this, slowly but surely, some of us have been slowly cooked and haven't realized what's really going on out there. But it's happening. And so as we just pray, and I think because of the time, we won't get into groups, but if something's touched your heart, we're calling the nation to prayer. I'm calling Canada to prayer. I'm calling Britain to prayer. At this stage, we have our contact to go to the Queen if we need to in Great Britain. But I don't think that's where we're at. I think this is grassroots at this time. I've been involved with the royal family before in some big thing that happened years ago in Great Britain. I think right now is what God is saying to us, quite simply. So I'm asking you and me, as we just bow our heads, and as we start to pray, you can stand up, you can come to the front, you can repent, you can do whatever God puts on your heart. Just break loose. Let God do what he wants to do. And let us just respond to what he wants. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come to you. And I say, Father, you are just wonderful. And you hold the nations in your hand. They're like a drop in a bucket to you. You said, ask of me and I will give the nations as your inheritance. Psalm 2. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask right now, as you stirred our hearts, you stirred mine. And in these few minutes, we just call out to you now. Help us in prayer in Jesus' name.